All lines are now bridged.
Great. Thank you very much. And hello, everyone, and welcome to the ITAC Annual Report Workgroup. I'm Mike Leary. I'm with ONC, and we're very glad that you can be with us today. I would like to welcome our co-chairs, Aaron Meary and Carolyn Peterson, along with our workgroup members, Brett Oliver, Stephen Lane, and Jim Jurgis. And before I turn it over to Aaron and Carolyn, I would just like to take an opportunity to thank Carolyn for her many years of service on the ITAC. We are going to miss you, Carolyn, and we hope our paths cross very soon. And Carolyn's been just a great team member on the ITAC, and like I said, we're definitely going to miss you. So with that, I'll turn it over to Aaron and Carolyn. Thank you.
Well, I'll start and give it to Carolyn so she can do her life soliloquy that's well-earned. Welcome to today's meeting. Appreciate everything. And I also want to echo Carolyn, thank you for everything you've done. You've been an awesome partner and partner in crime and all of this. And I can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. But I want to give the floor to you.
Thanks, Aaron. I have really felt very privileged and very grateful to have the opportunity to serve. I am really excited about all that we've accomplished over the years with the annual reports to now. I am very confident that other members on this task force will take the ball forward and continue to do a great job. And I do look forward to crossing paths with you again in the future, whether it's through other ONC activities or elsewhere in the health IT community. We've got a lot of good work to do and a lot of talent to do it. So let's go for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, with that, let's now go into the agenda, please. So obviously we have remarks, discussion of the draft, public comment adjourned. We need to go ahead and approve the minutes from the last meeting. Do you have a motion to approve?
I move so, Jim.
Okay, do you have a second?
Second.
Sure, Brett.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, so minutes are approved from last meeting. All right, so next slide, please. All right, so we're here. We're at the December 17th meeting, which is just, even me saying that is kind of crazy. It's the end of the year, but December 17th, we are here to develop, obviously, the next iteration and draft, and then move on, hopefully, to get it to HIPAA approval in the next month or so. Next slide. Okay, for the full committee, next HITAC meeting is on the 19th of January, where we're going to review it, and then, you know, take the last month to dot the I's, cross the T's, and then hopefully go for approval on February 17th, and then that's transmitted thereafter sometime early spring. Next slide. All
just
right.
A note, Aaron, if I may, I may well miss the February 17th HITAC meeting because I'll be recently post-op, but if I can make it, I shall, but just keep in mind that I won't be able to be there to help support that, probably.
No problem. No problem. And I'll be sure to get with you before that, and that way we can record your vote of approval or not, at least.
I like that. Great time.
Yeah, just so you have some time there. Okay. Here we are. So next step. So obviously present draft report, right? Next HITAC, and then revise any of that, and here a next meeting after that, and then present the final report on the 17th. So next slide. All right, so discussion of the draft HITAC annual report. Do we want to pull that up? Okay. Michelle, I'm presuming there's certain things you want us to zero in on for today, correct?
So this version, it's the first time the workgroup seeing the full version, although we shared it through email about a week or so ago, so maybe you had a chance to look ahead. But nothing's changed since then. The comments from the last workgroup meeting are integrated as comments or edits. There's just really one outstanding issue from the workgroup around the public health data systems report and whether there's anything in lab reporting that needs to be expanded upon in this report. there is a mention of it in the landscape analysis section, but there aren't really any recommendations or gaps or opportunities around it yet. If you want to add any, that's great. If not, there's a parking lot list for next year that's already been started among myself and the contractor. So today, we've done this in past years around this point in time. The work group does at least one walkthrough and kind of posit each section or each page, however you want to group it, and to see if there are any edits or comments that we need to follow up on. And otherwise, we kind of handle really detailed comments through like specific line edits, wordsmithing, kind of through an email process. But try in this meeting to kind of look at the content and give us feedback if there are any changes needed there. And then if there are any easy wordsmithing changes, we can accept those and document those right now, too. So does that make sense?
Well, Michelle,
here, as a process?
Good, Stephen.
I was just going to say, I see, Michelle, you have a number of sort of sidebar comments early on in the document. We should probably go and reconcile those. And I just wanted to say, if we could dig into the lab reporting area in a little bit of detail today, that'd be awesome. I just happened to have seen a patient yesterday that reminded me of a number of the challenges we have with lab ordering results interoperability. So I think that I hope that we do keep that on the front burner for next year.
Yeah, hear, hear. This is specifically about public health lab reporting, though. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, do we have a section on general lab?
Yeah. That's up to all of you. I think just so far the discussion's been about public health lab reporting, and it was getting a bit merged with case reporting in public health. So we were splitting those out. We didn't have much content on lab reporting, so at the moment there isn't much in the report. It doesn't mean there shouldn't be. It just meant we hadn't, this work group and, you know, with ONC's input, hadn't really gone down that road yet.
Yeah, my comments are not about EOR per se, but more about results and orders interoperability.
Hey, I'd like to echo Stephen's comment of today, definitely wanting to look at the lab section, because I know I spent a lot of time this year thinking about that. So.
Fantastic. All right. Let's see here. So I think we should do this exactly like Michelle was saying, just chop this up into sections then. We can even start with the comments up front. I don't know. Caroline, what do you think the right cadence is? Do you want to take the first stab at this?
Yeah, I think we can just approach it from the front and keep going as far as we can get. That makes sense.
Okay. Want to kick us off here?
Yeah, I'm scrolling to the page in the full document so I can read it. Middle age eyes, you know. If ONC's current practice is to use two words and one word for an adjective, I guess that's their style and they'll do that. We don't need to worry about that.
Actually, it's interesting to hear that that's ONC's preference, because I know that this goes back and forth. When, you know, we all write this word or these words pretty regularly. I'm personally happy to adjust to ONC's preference. I think that's good to know.
Yeah, I think pretty much everywhere else that I write or edit, people just choose one or the other. They don't go back and forth in the same document. But I'm not in charge of style here, and I'm not shedding blood in this style discussion.
You're an editor. I mean, you do this for a living.
I know, and I can't tell you how many meetings I have sat through where blood was shed about things like this. So I'm just moving on, because I don't have to do that here. So I guess that brings us into the grid, is where the next comment is, if I'm looking at a draft that's similar to yours. And this is just the correction where last meeting we talked about changing the rules of the road to something more substantive and clear. And so that change has been made to provide guidance. And it looks like there are some other edits in that line that I think reflect our comments at the last meeting.
Nice to see that Lauren is involved in the review of this. I haven't heard from her a lot this year. If anybody sees her, send them out of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this might be an older version being displayed because we removed any comments like that.
Yeah.
That were
I thought we'd addressed that one, yeah. The version that,
okay,
that you guys sent didn't have that one yet.
Keep going, because it may just be one problem I've had with Word, like when it gets sent to other people, sometimes old things that are embedded in the code pop up, even though we deleted them on the front end. They are still in the document somewhere, and they pop up. So we're checking on that, because other changes look accurate to me. So you can keep going, but I'll just make sure that we're using the correct version.
Yeah. Actually, it does. The version that you sent us has your comment, but... maybe it is. When I change it to show all markup, I can see it.
I don't know. I opened up what you sent out. I haven't edited it myself, so I think I changed the settings, but in any event. Do you have any concerns here, Aaron?
No. I'm just reading. Reading on my screen too.
Yeah, we discussed this last time. We didn't really think we had much to say specifically about ELR, so we struck it. Seems like ELR is sort of perking along. I don't have a personal experience that it needs our help.
No, it's going now. I mean, it wasn't last year, right? Everybody's like, it's not important. Now everybody knows how important it is, so it's going along. I think it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, when we speak about ELR, we speak about ELR to public health. Again, part of the challenge that sort of reared its head in my world in the past couple of days is, you know, the challenges that we face with maintaining the mapping that allows us to get even COVID labs that are performed in other systems to fully map into our own system so that we can... So we can naturally integrate those without having to do manual reconciliation. But again, that's not ELR per se.
I'm good.
Hey, it's Jim Gerges. So are we saying, because a lot of what we experienced last year with public health was the very, you know, laboratories not adhering to semantic standards when they're reporting, all the various different lab interfaces. Are you saying that that's in a different section, and that when you're saying we struck the ELR because it's going?
This would be the section if we wanted to make comments, you know, identify gaps, opportunities, recommendations related to electronic lab reporting from performing labs to public health. And if you think that there are key gaps...
Well, I do. Yeah, there are. So, first of all, there's the labs themselves and whether there's direct reporting to the public health departments in a standard way. The second is, you know, the majority of our COVID testing, for example, is done in-house, right? And so many provider groups also are lab testing centers. And we experienced, you know, 22 different states, enormous variation in the interfaces, the approach, the interpretation, the labs, you know, and part of it was lab reporting, whether it be from us or from machines we use, or from, we have 225 external labs that do COVID testing, and zero of them reported out to using a standard LOINT terminology. You know, they're all using their own, and we have to map it. So there was a lot of action last year on that. A lot, you know, I presented to the Health Committee, the Commerce and Energy Committee, to Mickey directly for an hour, this topic, and his leadership team, and the CDC. So that's why I'm just curious, what, you know, it would be conspicuous to not have that be part of the document. So maybe I missed a call where you decided not to include it, but can someone clarify?
So what would you say is the current gap?
I think it's the to me, the sort of like we're doing for, like what I suggested was, like we're doing for meaningful use, there ought to be a USCD, a set of data terminology standards and standard APIs that every health department adheres to and every lab adheres to, right? Most of that figured out that's the approach is pretty logical. The challenge has been, how do you incentivize the states to actually do it? But for HITACH, it seems like that's not our problem, incentivizing. Our problem is we ought to articulate that there ought to be data terminology standards as well as interface standards, right, for both labs as well as public health departments. The legislative branch or CDC or Interstate Commerce Commission, somebody needs to address the issue of incentivizing them to adhere. So to me, for HITACH, it's, you know, that the ONC ought to, you know, develop a standard with the CDC to require laboratory testing sites to report out using semantic interoperable standards, and there ought to be a unified API or data transport mechanism with implementation guides for interpretation to reduce the variation that creates all this angst and cost. Is that helpful, Stephen?
That's great. Did you get that,
Michelle?
None
of that exists today. I think it's being recorded too, though.
Yeah, no, I it makes sense. Michelle, I think she's probably writing.
Yeah, I captured that. Please clarify, was that a gap that we were identifying? Because I was typing while I was listening, so I might have missed that.
I think he captured the gap, the opportunity, and the recommendation. All in one breath.
I'm trying to catch my breath now.
And I would still suggest that that's in a separate line from the ECR topic that we were staring at. Oh, no, we're not staring at it.
It moved.
Yeah, it moved. I'm staring at it on my other screen.
Yeah, we
and the reason I think
it'd be
the reason I think it'd be a glaring omission is because so much the Biden administration's prioritizing public health reporting, right? The lab thing hasn't been called out enough, and tons of funding is going into beefing up public health departments' infrastructure and people capabilities. And if ONC doesn't provide with CDC those standards for terminologies and interfaces, and we'll end up having that money be used to have 22, you know, more sophisticated non-standard points of, you know, failure, right? So making sure the money is put to good use towards a standard, I think it's ONC and therefore HITACH's obligation to recommend that there be standards for both. Timing's perfect because there's so much funding going in to the public health infrastructure.
So I would suggest that we insert that new row below or above the ECR row that's on the top of the next page. And then we also don't have a row specific to syndromic surveillance. And of course, one of the reasons to point these out, or, you know, to weigh in on them at least, is that they have been included, you know, in the CMS NIPS and the promoting interoperability requirements. So if there is an opportunity, a need for, you know, HITACH to weigh in to support that, this is the time to capture it. My superficial perspective on syndromic surveillance is simply that it's not broadly adopted, but now that it's going to be incentivized by CMS, it seems like that will increase, but I haven't personally dived into it far enough to have any specific observations about gaps or opportunities or recommendations related to syndromic surveillance.
One of the gaps with the bidirectional sharing of data for syndromic surveillance, Stephen, it's one thing to have to report it. It'd be wonderful to actually get some data back from a state or government agency.
That's a really good point. And are you thinking at the population level or at the individual level?
I was thinking more of a population level, but I'm sure you could use it for both.
I mean,
so
I'm thinking...
Like for us, we would send the data to the state, and then we're dependent on them to get a report out to let us know what's going on. And it's a heck of a lot faster to let us have that data back while they're doing their, you know, their analysis for potentially other purposes.
I mean, it's a really good point. You know, public health gets that data. They, you know, they do what they do. They create their maps. They you know, figure out, you know, where, you know, there may be new disease activity. But, right, we don't know about it until, you know, down the line when it shows up in MMWR. It's like, oh, you know, 3 months ago there was an outbreak and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, is there an opportunity to kind of shorten that, you know, that cycle time in terms of data availability so that, you know, make this more reciprocal, right? I mean, we're sharing with them, they're sharing with us, we're seeing the results of the analysis of the data we submit. I think that's a really great idea. Sounds like a gap and an opportunity and a recommendation. Say more about it so she can record your beautiful words.
I think I've used them all up. But you make a good point too, Stephen, about it being population versus an individual level, because there could be benefit to the individual provider, case manager, whatever, to understand that someone's at risk, the potential, whether it be an outbreak or whatever's being studied. So I think it should probably include both.
I mean, you could certainly see data flowing back into health systems that would trigger decision support, right? You know, like somebody's coming in with, you know, whatever kind of a rash, and it's like, oh, gee, you know, public health in your area has, you know, been seeing this outbreak and this kind of thing, and, you know, either they do or they don't have a clue what's going on. I mean, that would be incredible. And it's very consistent with the whole discussion we've been having about the reportability response with ECR. You know, I mean, the idea, same idea. We send data in, we want to get data back. We want to get back helpful information to inform the care of either this individual or other individuals based on the data we're sending in. And I think you're right. I mean, that for syndromic surveillance, you know, it's all based on chief complaints as opposed to actual diagnoses. But even so, it's like, well, a lot of people are coming in with, you know, with cough, with exertional dyspnea, with, you know, new rash, and, you know, it's often the very earliest signal that we have of an outbreak.
Good deal. Carolyn, what's next?
I'm just thinking about how that concept applies to patients and what would be useful for patients to be able to get out of such a system. Does that mean, for example, that there's some reporting by zip code that shows that there's been an increase in people who are going to the doctor for a cough, or an increase in the number of tests for COVID-19 that have been performed in my zip code in the past week? What is there that can be shared in ways that respect privacy but helps me understand my environment so I can make choices that align with my health outcomes? For example, if I know that in my zip code there's more testing being done and perhaps some higher rates of symptoms than we've seen recently, I can look at that and say, oh, well, I've run out of produce, but I can probably live without vegetables for another 3 or 4 days. So why don't I just avoid that grocery store right now and, you know, log back in and look at the numbers in 3 or 4 days and see, and if it's going down and things are looking better, then, okay, I'll mask up and I'll make a really quick run through the store at the time that I think it's a little bit less busy and in that way manage my risk, hopefully manage my, you know, my likelihood of being infected.
Carolyn, I love that. And again, very consistent, you know, with the discussions we've been having about, you know, ECR. Again, the notion that data is going into public health, you know, the providers want feedback, the individuals want feedback, the individuals, you know, who are the subject of this data want, you know, to know that their case has been reported, you know, what advice maybe came back from public health about, you know, their case that it needs to inform their behavior. I think you're, you know, I love what you were just saying, this notion of making public health data more transparent to the stakeholders who have the opportunity to take advantage of that. And the way you described it was lovely. That should be one of those, like, due to interoperability by XYZ, you know, you were able to do this. I wonder if they'd let you slip that one back in.
I mean, I can forward Michelle the link to Mayo's website that has COVID-19 predictive modeling tools that people can use to plan travel for the holidays, because we're actually doing something with that to try to help people decide, you know, do I want to travel? What's it like where I might go? You know, should I make a different plan, sort of thing. So I'll send that link along, Michelle. I'll see if I can pull it up here and post it.
Yeah, I haven't had that conversation with my family since last night.
Oh, well, I'm glad we're catching you with that. Because, yeah, you know, it's really valuable if you are in a cohort where there can be discussion about things and it's not all political. It's very valuable.
Okay.
So, Michelle, I'd like to ask, it's similar to the electronic case reporting line item. Do we think we've discussed it enough to create another line item that's similar and doesn't overlap too much, but maybe gets at the bidirectionality issue in the recommendations?
No.
So
I definitely
trying to figure out how to fit it into the format.
Well, I mean, I think it would be an observation related to syndromic surveillance. Specifically, not, again, it's different than what we want back from ECR or ELR for that matter. Within ELR, there should also probably be an observation about the desirability and current lack of availability of the opportunity for individuals to go to public health and see what lab data they have on them and to potentially download that and take advantage of it. Again, I think part of the whole idea of information sharing is that you don't necessarily have to go to the original source to get your data. You know, you can get it from some other, you know, entity that has received it, because oftentimes the original source is down or not enabled, et cetera.
That helps. And then what would the high tech's work here be?
Presumably to investigate and support the development of standards and requirements for public health, you know, working with CDC and state and territorial public health organizations to, you know, develop and maintain tools for individual access to data and associated recommendations.
Does that help you?
Yeah, it's enough if you're all willing to iterate. I know we're heading into the holidays, but if you're willing through email to give me feedback on something I might write up based on this content, then I can insert that. And we have, it flows down, so there are other sections we need to fill out too. Make sure it's in the landscape analysis, which I'm not sure if we have that explicitly called out. and then, you know, the gap and the recommendation kind of flow from this table more directly. So I will do what we can with some help from my contractor and get something back to you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I must say this discussion has been way more productive than I expected for this hour.
It's always productive. Come on.
What's with the low expectations?
I just thought we were going to be drinking eggnog. I don't know.
Where have you been all these years, Stephen? We work this hard all the time.
Did you want to go back to the lab discussion? Did we complete that?
You know, I thought we did. I just want to clarify, too, the lab discussion we were having earlier, you mean? That
right.
The
recommendation
would be...
I just wanted to make sure that we closed it out.
Well, there was one thing I wanted to make sure of. So it's not just that the lab testing companies would have to standardize the way they report to public health. The recommendation would be that that anyone who's externalizing lab results, a lab testing company, a provider, would need to externalize that data map to LOINC standards. So I just wanted to make sure our wording wasn't just too specific that to it being between lab testing companies and public health entities. But lab testing companies often send those results to providers who then send those results on to state public health departments. So making sure that, you know, any time a lab testing site externalizes a result, it's mapped to LOINC codes, not just in specific situations. Is that a helpful clarification?
Related, did you guys all see that Dan Riemann has a new job at HL7? That was so exciting.
Hmm. That's interesting. Along with certain EMR companies being acquired by database companies. So anyways, all right.
Life goes on. Our industry is never boring.
Life goes on. One big circle. It all comes back as one big database. It's just really, I'm here all day for the jokes. So. All right. All right. Let's keep going. We talked about labs, talked about all that. All right. What's next? Where are we at? VLR, we just did that. Next. So we're in interop, okay? Interop, anything in there? No, doesn't look like there's anything there. Privacy security now. So the lawyers are each. I don't think there's any debate on that. Yeah, it looks good. I mean, I don't know. Team, what do you all think?
I think it reflects what we discussed at the last meeting.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, Michelle, what other areas do you want to take a look at?
If you go, it might even be the next page, the story at the top. I just wanted to show you, it looks like a lot of red text, but it was more just condensing and tightening this up because it was the feedback we got internally and a little bit from all of you was that it was a little broad and vague, so we tried to get it more focused and more linked to the content that's in the table.
I like it. Okay.
Good.
I just reread the story. They look good, Michelle.
Good. Yeah, we're pleased with them.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I also like how we linked like the SRA and things like that in privacy security. It's good. It just continues the full gambit and spectrum of work that's going on, right, and links everything together, which is what this report should do. So it's really good. Okay. Any questions or comments on the stories, team? Okay.
Nope.
All right, if nothing, then just keep going. Next section, Michelle, that we want to look at?
Yeah, most of the rest are standard text or come from ONC, and then Aaron will work with you on the forward and Denise. So if you go past the progress section, because that's pretty factual, let us know if there's anything that doesn't look right there. But it's starting with the infrastructure section, so, yeah, landscape analysis section, page 18. That's where I think you can start sort of chunking and saying, is there anything in this section versus that section? So the first part of that tends to be federal activities go into each target area. So you probably could just use those section headings to pause and see if there are any questions or edits. And one point I'll make for the people who are newer to this, the landscape analysis is meant to be quite broad, and that's a bit of a direction from Congress to look across the entire industry, not just everything that's in ONC's purview, but we do kind of scope it a bit to make it manageable that way, make sure it's health IT related, and if possible, it touches on ONC's work so that the high tech can then take action on these topics. But it is a bit broad intentionally and will be a bit wordy because of that with lots of citations. But feedback we've gotten in later years was that people would go back through the year and use this as a reference, even if they're not reading it word for word up front. So let us know if there's any major areas we missed. And we do make sure that they tie back to everything that's in the table as a topic, and then everything in the table is supported by background information, so there's an interplay there, and it sets you up later for gaps and opportunities. So it will be longer text. Don't feel like you have to wordsmith that if you don't want to. It's the gaps and opportunities and activities of where this work group can really make a difference in the report content at this point. So.
Okay. Specifically to take the headers and look at them and just make sure that it just flows out right, basically? Is that what you're asking us to do?
Yeah, just I was saying, like, if people have read ahead or even are skimming right now, is there anything that jumped out as something needing attention or missing
right,
as far as content?
I don't know, team, is what stands out to you all, or are we in good stead? I need to take a look at this. Like, I need to print it up with a highlighter to really spend some time.
I have to be honest that I didn't get this far in terms of reading through it.
Yeah, I skimmed it. I did not. Yeah, I have not. Okay.
And we can accept comments through writing, you know, through email. People have marked up the document with comments for us, and then I can integrate everything early January. It needs to go through one more cycle of internal ONC review so that our national coordinator has a chance to look through near final version, and then still have time to get it out to the HITAC members for their review ahead of their meeting on the 19th of January. So it gets a little compressed in early January, but I still can accept comments into like that first week of January from all.
Okay. We could do that. That would be helpful for me.
We don't expect you to work on a holiday, you know, whatever your normal work hours might be over the holidays. So don't feel like we're trying to dump this on you right before the holidays. I work really hard not to do that, considering ONC's long history of putting things out the week before Christmas. But I'm leaving a few days in early January for this as well. But we don't have a formal meeting, public meeting, ahead of the next high-tech meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to try to get through all of it no later than the end of the weekend and send that back to you, Michelle.
Yeah, I'll get it back to you soon, Michelle.
Okay, that works.
Thank
cool.
you for that link, Carolyn. That's a great site.
Yeah, I mean, it's not instantaneous updating, obviously, because you have to, you know, to run the numbers through it on some kind of basis, but they do update it. I don't know if it's nightly or pretty regularly.
So if you all wanted to take time to read the landscape analysis and get back to us, that's probably fine. It's more, you'll be more familiar with the gaps and the recommendation sections because you already talked those through and they're your language. So if you want to jump ahead, that's okay with me, but also it's up to you if you want to walk through anything in this section.
I'm just going to read this on my own and just send it back to you. It's the best thing I can do.
Yeah, agree.
Okay.
Okay, Michelle. So we owe you that. What else?
Is there anything that you do want to talk through, even if you haven't read it yet? I don't really have anything else that we didn't already talk through.
Yeah, I don't. The team, what do you all have?
I don't have anything else.
Steven?
Nope.
Jim?
Nope.
Brett?
Looks like I've got a landscape analysis to read.
All right.
So you guys will send us the updated version as an attachment or tell us when it's posted somewhere so we can go find it?
You should already have it in the email for this meeting. Nothing's changed. This meeting yet, I haven't yet written the section that you need. So for now, use the version you have, and then we'll insert this other piece parallel.
Okay, I guess I was referring to the other adjustments that we just reviewed. It'd be nice to review the whole thing together.
Yeah, I would agree. And early next week, if I can pull that together, I will. But if you want to work over the weekend, I'd use the version you have, and I can integrate on the back end. I need to go back out to my contractor, and they need some time to. Because syndromic surveillance is kind of a new topic to this report. It's been mentioned, but we never went deep on it. So it's not even, I don't think, mentioned in the report in the end. So we need to do a little research for you first. That takes it.
So if we just track changes on top of the Word document that you sent us, that'll be okay?
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right. Should we then, Carolyn, should we go see if we can move to public comment?
I think so, if that's okay.
All right, great. Operator, can we open the line for public comment?
Yes. If you would like to make a comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we pull for comments. There are no comments at this time.
All right, thank you. Aaron, Carolyn?
Okay, I'll start it, and Carolyn, hand it to you for the baton so you can also say goodbye. I just want to thank this entire committee and thank all of you, and I wish you a happy holidays and a joyous new year, and just be safe. Carolyn?
Ditto to all that, and just, again, thanks to everyone at ONC for all your great support and assistance in making this a really, really solid product from the high tech. And good luck. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of all the work in the coming years.
Thanks, Carolyn. Thanks for everything.
You.
All right. Bye, all. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care, all.
Bye, everybody.